WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Dr. Bernard Rimland started studying autism 36 years ago after the birth of his autistic son. Since then, he's consulted with parents of autistic children from around the world. Dr. Rimland is a research psychologist and the founder of the Autism Research Institute. His book, Infantile Autism, is credited with redefining autism from an emotional disorder to a neurological one. Dr. Rimland wrote the foreword to the autobiography of Donna Williams, who spoke with us on the first part of today's show. Dr. Rimland was also the technical expert on autism for the film Rain Man. I asked him what autism is.
I was afraid you were going to ask that. there is no simple answer. The simplest answer, the quickest answer I can think of when someone asks me that question is to ask if they saw the film Rain Man. If they say yes, then I say, well, then you know what a relatively high-functioning autistic adult is like. If you can envision what that individual was as a young child, then you know what autism is. Other than that, it would just take, paragraph after paragraph of description to try to explain. Autism, in as few words as I can manage, is a very severe disorder of cognition, brain functioning, and emotion that occurs in very early in life, often at birth or soon after birth, never after age 3. It always is evident before age 3. Which is very disabling, even though the person is physically very normal and very often very attractive in appearance. No one really understands what causes it, except that it is known that it's a brain disorder. That's a very important point, because at one time, for many decades, in fact, it was believed to be an emotional disorder. The kids looked so normal that it was easy to believe that they were biologically normal and that they were merely emotionally disturbed. And, of course, that caused a tremendous amount of guilt and shame and problems with the parents when they were blamed by professionals for having caused their child's disorder. It is now known that autism is definitely a brain disorder, although the exact characterization of the disorder still is a little bit in the future.
I want to get back to that point a little bit later. You mentioned the film Rain Man, and you were a consultant to that film. In that film, Dustin Hoffman plays someone who is autistic but has this incredible gift. He's brilliant at numbers. Do you consider Donna Williams to kind of be in that category, but instead of numbers, it's language?
Yes, I think that's a very good analogy. Yeah, she's got an enormous skill with language, which is very unusual in autism because language is one of the great disabilities in autism. Quite a number of autistic individuals do have the very kinds of skills that Dustin Hoffman portrayed, not only skill with numbers, but with memory. You remember he was able to memorize phone books and sports statistics and all kinds of other things. And that is memory skill and numerical skill. And so other kinds of skills are very common in autism, but not a language skill.
Now, you have a son who is autistic. Do you feel like you got any insights into your son from reading Donna Williams' book?
Yes, I did. My son is now about 36 years old, and he does speak, but he certainly doesn't have anywhere near the power to explain himself that Donna Williams does. So it was really extremely interesting to me. And I do understand better what my life must have been for my son from having read her book. It was a very valuable contribution.
What specifically do you feel you understand about him now that you didn't before?
Well, the perceptual world is so different to the autistic individual than the normal person. Things that seem very commonplace to me apparently have very different connotations and implications and perceptions as far as the autistic individual is concerned. My own son has some of those kinds of things that he tries to explain, but he's not all that gifted at explaining it. One thing he is very gifted at, which it sort of astounds people, is in art. He learned how to paint when he was about 27 years old, and has started painting and drawing and doing artistic things, not autistic, but artistic. And now his paintings are very avidly sought after by collectors and displays and exhibitors of all kinds. So lots of autistic kids do have unusual gifts, but very few have the kinds of literary gifts that Donna Williams displays.
Donna Williams described how uncomfortable it is for her to be touched, how invaded she feels when somebody touches her. Do you think your son goes through that too?
My son seems to have recovered to a major degree from those kinds of problems. When he was small, you couldn't pick him up. He would scream and scream and scream as an infant. If you try to pick him up to comfort him, he would scream all the more. Made it extremely difficult to deal with him. But as time has gone on, that extraordinary sensitivity to touch has been greatly alleviated, and he no longer experiences it. Part of it may just be maturation, and part of it is due to the fact that I have been experimenting with a number of biological treatments for him, including the use of high-dosage vitamin B6. He's been taking high-dosage vitamin B6 ever since 1968, and he began to improve on that, and I think his very high level of functioning now, maybe I shouldn't say very high, his high level of functioning now is in large part attributable to that. I've been involved in the vitamin research now for all those years, and now there have been 16 studies published in 5 countries, all of which strongly support the use of high-dosage vitamin B6 in the treatment of autism.
I want to get back to touch. It must have been very hard for you and for your wife as parents to realize that your son didn't like to be touched as a child.
Well, he was our first child, and we had no idea what kids were like, but it was really very, very traumatic. He not only didn't like to be touched, his environment had to be very, very constant. In other ways, you asked about the perception that Donna Williams talks about. An incident occurs to me. We had an impossible time finding babysitters because he screamed and carried on so much. The only people that would work as babysitters were my mother and my mother-in-law. And yet he even screamed and made it very uncomfortable for them. He was so difficult that my wife had to do all of her shopping through the Sears catalog. And she noticed that whenever she changed dresses, he would become very upset. So she bought a series of dresses from the Sears catalog, all of the same pattern. And then it occurred to her to get several sizes larger of the same dress for my mother and several sizes smaller for her mother, so that whenever we took our son Mark to Grandma's house, whichever Grandma it was, they would put on that dress in advance, and he would look at and notice that the person holding him had that pattern on, and he would quiet down. He was that sensitive to changes in his perceptual environment.
Is it still that way with him?
Oh, no. He's very, very, very much improved, extraordinarily improved. When he was 5 years old, we were told to institutionalize him, that he was totally hopeless, he would never amount to anything, and just forget him. But that isn't our way of doing things, so we just fought and worked, and now we have a very fine, still handicapped, but very fine, productive, pleasant son.
My guest is Dr. Bernard Rimland. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Dr. Bernard Rimland, founder of the Autism Research Institute. Your son is 36 now. When did you realize that there was something wrong?
Well, in retrospect, we realized it in the hospital. Just after he was born, all the other kids in the nursery were just lying there. They'd cry a little bit when they got hungry, but he didn't. He just screamed lots and lots of the time. Screamed so violently that my wife could hardly nurse him. And it was very difficult to placate him with anything. He just acted as though he was in constant pain or terror all the time. Now, some research that we're doing here in the U.S. and started in France on sound sensitivity in autistic children, it has occurred to me that perhaps he was one of those autistic children, it's fairly common in autism, who have hyperacute hearing. So that any slight sound that is, perhaps unpleasant or maybe not even noticeable to some people could be very painful to him. And anyway, that's one hypothesis as to why he screamed so much. We don't know, but it was very difficult, very, very difficult time.
Much less was known about autism when your son was born. You've said that you had a PhD in psychology at the time, yet you didn't know what autism was.
I was 5 years beyond my PhD in psychology. When I ran across the word autism for the first time, my our little boy was 2 years old at the time, and he was physically very normal looking, but he would walk around the house. He had started to walk without ever crawling, and he'd wander around the house repeating words in a hollow monotone, avoiding contact with everybody, tracking down the vacuum cleaner wherever it might be, playing with it for hour after hour. We took him to Grandma's house, and he'd run past her into the closet where the vacuum is held and play with the vacuum. All those kinds of things were very characteristic of autism, but we'd never heard of them. And my wife remembered once, one morning, reading about a child like this in an old college textbook. So when I got home from work, we went out to the garage and found the old box of textbooks and found that particular book, Child Development by Ames and Ilg, and found the chapter on childhood behavior problems. And there was the word autism for the first time, early infantile autism. My son was 2 years old, and then he was born when I was 3 years past my PhD. So I was 5 years past my PhD and seeing that word for the first time.
How did you figure out that your son was autistic?
Well, he met point by point the exact description of autism that was in that book. It was just incredible because no one else, including our pediatrician, who had been in practice for about 40 years at the time, had ever heard of a child like this. It was just, we thought we had the only child in the world like this. And then I read the textbook, and here there was actually other kids like this, and it had a name. And so I began to track into that disorder. I went to the library and began to read, and I became obsessed with reading as much as I could about this very strange disorder. At the end of 5 years, I had produced a book, and I submitted the manuscript to a publisher and immediately became the world authority on autism, because everything else that was written from the standpoint that autism was an emotional disorder caused by bad mothering, what was called a refrigerator mother, a mother who just never defrosted long enough to hug her child or to love the child or to encourage a child, supposedly. And the child would react to this by saying, okay, you treat me that way, and I'm just going to turn autistic and reject the world and live in a world of my own.
Was it personally offensive to you and your wife?
Extremely offensive, not only to us, but all kinds of other parents as well. It's just devastating to have a child like this, to take the child to a professional and find that the child has a permanent disability, which will probably end him up in an institution. And beyond that, the reason that he has this, nothing can be done about it except drugs, which are not very good. But the reason for it is that you have some kind of a horrible personality defect that caused you to behave this way toward your child. And the treatment at the time was to put the parents in psychotherapy or psychoanalysis to try to find out what it was about them that caused them to reject their child so much, that the child would willfully turn autistic. And if the parents denied it, well, of course, that was, as far as the psychoanalysts were concerned, that was just proof that they were causing it. Denial was what was considered by the Freudian believers to be an admission of guilt.
You've used behavior modification techniques. What kind of, can you be specific with us about what kind of techniques you've used and what you think the outcome has been?
Well, the biggest breakthrough that occurred in our own child's life when he was about 8 years old is when I discovered behavior modification, which was being developed by a number of psychologists around the country, particularly Dr. Ivar Lovas at UCLA, the psychology department at UCLA. And it involved the same kind of teaching techniques that were used with Helen Keller. Ordinarily, you teach a child by assuming the child can understand what you're trying to accomplish and that the child wants to please you. If the child is not particularly interested in pleasing you and really lacks the ability to comprehend, how do you teach them? Well, the answer appears to be, judging from the good results that are achieved, to use the same kinds of techniques that Helen Keller's teacher used in teaching her, little rewards and punishments. The rewards get the vast majority of the attention rather than the punishments, but it's just like teaching a dog or a seal. You just reward them for what they do, and after a while they learn how to do it. In the case of autism, once a child learns that technique, learns that he can learn, and learn that he can be rewarded for learning, then the process becomes easier and easier for him, and he becomes quite proficient at learning, even though he doesn't necessarily understand as much as the normal child.
How much do you think you've tried to empathize with your son to really kind of get into his world, which is perceptually so different from your own? And is that one of the ways you've tried to reach him, or do you consider that virtually impossible?
We try the best we can. My wife and I are always discussing between us what, you know, why does Mark do this or why does Mark think that? And we try our best to understand and to compensate, but it is very, very difficult to try to place ourselves in his shoes. The Donna Williams book goes a little bit of a way toward helping, The main improvement that we can make by having read her book is not so much any specific details, but just the realization of how enormously powerful the impact is on the individual of being autistic. It is just hard to imagine until you read her book how extraordinarily pervasive this handicap is to every living waking moment and every thought.
Dr. Bernard Rimland is the founder of the Autism Research Institute in San Diego.